Our scripture lesson for today is from the letter to the Ephesians from the fourth chapter. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's a great song, isn't it? What do you do with the mad that you feel when you feel so mad you could bite? I love Fred Rogers. What do you do with the mad that you feel? That's our question. I wonder if you would do something with me. It's a Mr. Rogers exercise. We'll take 1 minute and ask ourselves, what mad am I feeling right now? Do I feel mad at myself? Do I feel mad at another person or a group of people or an organization, a government, a disease? Am I mad at the world? I'll set a timer, just 1 minute of silence. You'll be surprised how it will come to you. What do we do with our anger? It's a really important question. In the letter to the Ephesians, the writer says, "Be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil." So notice it doesn't say, "Don't be angry." It doesn't say, "Anger is bad, it's not Christian." It says, "Be angry." Like, anger is part of being human, and the author seems to affirm that, but warns us against its dangers. Don't make room for the devil. In Scripture, the devil fills any space we give with deceit and falsehood. In Scripture, the devil leads people into sin, into behaviors that will disrupt and even destroy that holiness and beauty of community. Because the behaviors that destroy relationships are what destroys community. So the author writes about stuff like false speech, about out of control anger, theft, bitterness, slander. And this is the thing. we can't hold on to it. We can't hold it in. We have to do something before the sun sets. We have to do something today. If we hold on to it, and we know this, it can become explosive and destructive and cause harm. Frederick Buechner's warning is famous. I've shared it with you before. Of the seven deadly sins, anger is possibly the most fun. To lick your wounds, to smack your lips over grievances long past, to roll over your tongue the prospect of bitter confrontations still to come, to savor to the last toothsome morsel both the pain you are given and the pain you are giving back. He says, in many ways, it is a feast fit for a king. The chief drawback is that what you are wolfing down is yourself. The skeleton at the feast is you. Pastor Rob said an interesting thing the other day. He said, if we hold on to our anger too long, it becomes useless. And he referenced Jesus in the temple. All four gospel writers tell the story of what Jesus did with his anger. It might be familiar to many of you. It's his final week of life after the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And he goes into the temple. And in the temple, what he sees and what he experiences stirs him. Essentially, this is not what God has in mind. And so he says to them, you know, God's house is to be a house of prayer, and not just for Israel, but for all nations. And you've turned it into this something else, this den of thieves. So he starts turning over the tables. John, in his gospel, places it a little bit differently in the overall story. And it says that Jesus makes this whip of cords and begins driving out the animals that are being sold there for sacrifices. Like he's angry. And he does something about it. Fred Rogers was moved by his anger. He was in a CNN interview once, and he says, I went into television because I hated it so. Isn't that crazy? He said, I thought there was some way of using this fabulous instrument to nurture those who would watch and listen. And it was just being used for what he thought was silliness, but even harmful things. You know, it's like throwing pies in faces, this high energy, this violence, and marketing to kids. He was angry about it, and he did something with it. You know, the question at the heart of it, and what we're asking these weeks is, won't you be my neighbor? It's an invitation into a relationship. It's a commitment to community. And we know that the neighborhood is not a fantasy place, that there's hard stuff and there's conflict, and we can't avoid that. And the thing is like Mr. Rogers, he had his land of make-believe, and we would follow the trolley into that space. But he brought the hard stuff there. It's 1968, and racism is a problem. In Rob's sermon last week, we saw Officer Clemens and Mr. Rogers and the swimming pool. It's 1968, and Robert F. Kennedy is assassinated. And Daniel Tiger, one of Mr. Rogers' puppets, asks the question, what is assassination? And they talk about it. It's 1968, and our country is at war in Vietnam. Mr. Rogers is the only one speaking to the kids. And on the show, in the land of make-believe, King Friday the 13th, has guards and razor wire, and the proclamation ultimately is, I want there to be peace in this neighborhood. And so helium balloons are released into the area with peaceful messages. Our feelings are mentionable and manageable. It's May 1st, 1969. And Fred Rogers appears before the U.S. Senate Committee on Commerce, requesting funds to help support the growth of a new concept, national public television, his new passion. President Nixon is cutting budget. He wants to cut the budget for public television from $20 million to $10 million. And Senator John Pastore is the Subcommittee on Communications chairperson that's leading these hearings. He was not impressed. Two full days of testimony, and he was kind of tired of it. And it was Fred Rogers' turn. Senator Pastore, who was unfamiliar with Fred Rogers, was initially kind of abrasive toward him. And then Fred testifies. He tells the senator, "This is what I give. I give an expression of care every day to each child to help him realize that he's unique. I end the program by saying, you've made this day a special day by just being you. There's no person in the whole world like you, and I like you just the way you are. Feelings can be mentioned." And the most important point that he made is that you can do something about them. They're manageable. And then he asks the senator if he can sing one of his songs. What do you do with the mad that you feel? And he says that first line came straight from a child. What do you do with the mad that you feel when you feel so mad you could bite? When the whole wide world seems oh so wrong and nothing you do seems very right. What do you do? Do you punch a bag? Do you pound some clay or some dough? Do you round up friends for a game of tag or see how fast you go? It's great to be able to stop when you've planned a thing that's wrong and be able to do something else instead and think this song. I can stop when I want to. I can stop when I wish. I can stop, stop, stop anytime. And what a good feeling to feel like this and know that the feeling is really mine. Know that there's something deep inside that helps us become what we can. And so over the course of Mr. Rogers' six-minute testimony, Senator Pastore's demeanor just gradually transitions from agitation to one of awe and admiration at his talk. He said, "I'm a pretty, he doesn't say mean, but you know, I'm a pretty tough guy." And he says, "I've gotten chill bumps." And he says, "You've got the $20 million. And the room begins clapping. In the movie, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Mr. Rogers, who is played by Tom Hanks, wants us to meet his friend Lloyd. Lloyd is an investigative journalist for Esquire magazine. He's cynical, a bit jaded, and completely put off when his boss gives him the assignment to profile Fred Rogers. It's an assignment that he feels like is beneath him. What we discover is that Lloyd has a simmering anger toward his father, dating back to when his mother died. He is angry about attending his sister Lorraine's third wedding because his estranged father, Jerry, is also attending, and it doesn't go well. Lloyd punches his father, spills wine on his sister Lorraine's wedding dress, and then a wedding guest punches Lloyd in the face. It's a mess. So Lloyd meets Mr. Rogers with a black eye and a messed up nose. In these interviews, as he's getting to know Fred Rogers, he's actually trying to get at the real Mr. Rogers. You know, what's he like off the set? And what he discovers is that Fred Rogers is real. And what we see him doing in his television show, looking at just one child, speaking to just one person on TV, he actually lives his life that way. And he pursues Lloyd in that way and models this beautiful relationship of love and compassion and concern for people, period. We discover that Lloyd is battling his own demons. Mr. Rogers helps him deal with his painful past, and Lloyd Vogel learns the transforming power of forgiveness. To our question, what mad are you feeling right now? I mean, what came in our little exercise. You know, reconciliation begins with naming it. Are you mad at yourself, at the sin? I know that anger. One time when I was lost in that shame and that guilt and literally caught myself grinding my teeth, and I remembered that throughout the scriptures it talks about the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. We find ourselves in that place sometimes, and it's almost unbearable. Am I mad at me? And what am I going to do about it? Am I mad at another person? Maybe someone has harmed you. I mean, so many of us live trauma-shaped lives. You know, our childhood, was there abuse? Was there neglect? Was there a hostile environment? What do I do with that? Or unresolved grief, the anger that emerges from that. I'll never forget sitting during COVID times. We couldn't visit my dad in his retirement community, so we would sit outside in our yard chairs drinking our coffee or eating lunch, and we would have conversations because of COVID. And my mom died, you know, right before the world shut down, and my dad just said, classic dad, you know, I'm really mad at cancer. Me too. Maybe we're mad at war. Maybe we're mad at politics. Maybe we're mad at church. I know that some of you have had traumatic experiences with the church or some group of people that doesn't accept you because of who you are and who God made you to be. What is the mad that we feel? It's important what we do with it, which is why I love the invitation to this table. I want to invite you to this table. It's a table where God meets us with grace. It's a place of healing and forgiveness. Let us pray. God, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us who are gathered in this sacred space. We pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine, that you would make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. O God, make us one with you and your Spirit, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. And God, we pray this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the blood of Christ given for you. Amen. Rita Snowden, who is an author, tells of a time that she visited a small town near Dover, England, and she was having tea in the late afternoon, and when she became aware of this unbelievably pleasant scent filling the air, she asked the waiter, like, where's the scent coming from? And the waiter said that it came from the people passing by. He explained to her that they worked in a perfume factory down the street and were on their way home. When they left the factory, they carried with them the fragrance that had permeated their clothes during their day's work. And she realized that this was an illustration of what the church can be like at its best. permeated with the love of Christ and the sweetness of God's presence. Thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and go in peace. Amen.